You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Ollie Pimlott with you this time to look ahead to Monday's racing. We're going to look at racing at Wolverhampton and Kempton. We're going to leave Plumpton alone. They are inspecting on Monday morning. We've already lost air to waterlogging, so fingers crossed Plumpton does get the go-ahead, but we're going to focus on the all-weather stuff on this podcast. We're going to have a look back on Saturday's action as well, because we had a fantastic day yesterday as we record this. Good afternoon, Mr. Pimlott. How are you?
Good afternoon, Alex Dunn. I'm not too bad.
Good. That's good to hear. Yesterday's racing was top-notch, wasn't it?
The stuff at Maidan was terrific, yeah. Seeing Blue Creek turn over at 1-5, the potential Triple Crown contender, was not good to see, Alex Dunn, given the two in behind during the day went on to both win. So, yeah, that was interesting stuff at Maidan.
Wasn't really talking about Maidan, but
some cracking racing at Gulfstream as well last night, Alex. Some good graded races. Treble on the car for Joel Rosario.
In case you haven't noticed, listeners, Ollie also works on Betting TV, which incidentally you can watch by going to wh.cm/TV or following the link on the horse racing page on the website. But they're live from 5, aren't they, every day?
Yes. Well, 12 o'clock on a weekend.
12 o'clock yesterday. Well, no, just when Maidan's on. Yeah. So all the Maidan action, all the American action on there as well. It's turned into a nice plug, this, but it wasn't meant to. But yeah, there was good stuff at Maidan and Gulfstream yesterday. Let's talk about...
That's not what you're on about?
No, Cheltenham.
All right.
Doncaster.
There was racing there yesterday, wasn't there?
Mainly Cheltenham. We'll start with Smad Place, who was a very nice winner once again. Makes me think that in the King George, why did the horse not go from the front? It's gone twice from the front in its last three starts. It's won them both. And the one it didn't, I know it was a better race, but never could really get competitive and got into a lovely rhythm once again out in front and didn't really look in danger from halfway, really, once Jack and I had fallen.
Yeah, I think the head says 3 miles plus suits him so well that he can hardly be as effective back at shorter. But you look at the Ryanair now and it looks ready for the taking, Alex Dunn, to me. So the owner, Mr. Andrews, who didn't actually want the horse to run yesterday, I think he rang Alan King prior to the race and said, I don't want the horse to run because of the ground. Mm-hmm. Alan King told a little fib and he said the horse was already on the box halfway to Cheltenham when really he was still sat at home.
Okay.
But the horse ran, of course he won, and he won so well. He's jumping, I think it was the fourth or fifth down the back where he just took off out of Dickie Johnson's hands. He's a favourite with all the race goers now, isn't he, because of his... He's like, a bit like Desert Orchid, unbelievably good jumper, striking grey. It'll be interesting to see where they go, but there's only one Gold Cup. I think they'll be swayed towards the Gold Cup, but I think it'll be a certainty in the Ryanair.
Okay. Manny Cloud in second. Great national trial. I think he's going to go to Kelso before the national. But
he is, yeah. So he's going to not go to the Gold Cup this year, which of course he did last year, where he was a little bit disappointing. But the thing is, Alex, he's not going to go up any more in the weights, is he? Because he had a welter burden last year. Interesting to see if they fancy Smad Place for the National. What a sight he would be in the National. He's going to have a top weight, but with the likes of Many Clouds in there, he's going to have... We know it can be done now, don't we? It's going to be a compressed handicap, because if the likes of Smad Place and Many Clouds ran, the handicap is not going to want half the field out of the handicap.
No.
So he'd compress the handicap, they'd be effectively well in. So I'd love to see Smad Place in the National, but that's a little bit further down the pipeline.
What about Jackadam then? Fell? No longer the favourite for the Gold Cup. Vautour is currently the 4-1 market leader with us, 9-2 for Jackadam. He didn't really do anything right or wrong. I suppose he did do something wrong in that he fell, but it's hard to be overly bullish about his chances off the back of that run, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd be a little bit worried. He was bidding to become the first favourite to win the race since Cypher Malta back in 1999, so favourites didn't have a good record in the race. We don't know a great deal. He did a circuit, jumped very well, but his jumping at Cheltenham leads something to be desired now. Because he struggles to get round Cheltenham, isn't it? I think that's the second time He's fallen, fell at the 10th of the 18 fences, paid the price. He was pretty badly injured. He went off in the horse ambulance, but all appears to be okay. Just a few nasty gashes and gouges, but nothing very sinister. But even so, his jumping record around Cheltenham, he's been a favourite a couple of times around there now, and he's fallen, Alex. So that would be a little bit of a worry. There's no tougher test than Cheltenham, I don't think, when you're jumping at speed. They got rid of the dreaded downhill second and third last, haven't they? You're hitting that... pretty on a level pegging now, but that's gone. But even so, it's a very tough test. And the jump he fell at, you don't often see any fallers there, so maybe just took his eye off the ball, but his Cheltenham record would be worrying now.
Okay. Thistlecrack was a ready winner of the Cleve Hurdle. Looked to only have one credible danger pre-race, that was Camping Ground, who did disappoint a little bit. And it's hard, I think, hard to get carried away with Thistlecrack, given what he's beaten. He beat Petit Zig and the Romford Pele into second and third, two, well, better known as chasers. I know Petit Zig has had a bit of a difficult campaign, but Thistlecrack, although I've said it's hard to get carried away by him, he did pull away really nicely.
Well,
and
he's won the World Hurdle Qualifier by 12 lengths without coming off the bridle, Alex. What more could he do?
Do you think he'll win the World Hurdle?
I think he's got a very good chance. He's a very worthy favourite. Is he a bet at 11-8? I'm not so sure now, purely because of the ground. Disappointed last year on good ground. He seems to be a bit of a mudlark to me. He's a big, strong, chasing type. They've said whatever he does this year, I think they'll change their mind. Whatever he does this year, he'll go chasing next year. If he happens to win the World Hurdle, surely they'll stick to hurdles. But even so, big, strong, chasing type who loves the mud. He's improved dramatically for the step up in trip. Gonna have no problem seeing out that 3 mile, the extended 3 mile of the World Hurdle. The worry, slight worry for me is he just a little bit of a better horse with giving the ground? Usually come Thursday of Cheltenham, Alex, we get good ground. That would be the slight worry.
You mentioned 11-8 about Thistlecrack. Gone.
Gone, yeah. We were the biggest priced after yesterday's Cleve Hurdle, and that soon went without even money. Yeah. But you look through his contenders, people are talking up Cole Harden's chances, but I can't have him at all. I know he's a spring horse, but is he going to get the run of the race as he did last year? No, he's not. No. Everybody knows what he's going to do. He's going to have another wind operation. I think that's two already. He had two last year. I think he's going to be a sitting duck the way he runs in the World Hurdle now, because everybody knows what Gavin Sheehan's going to do.
But the thing is, you look through the contenders for this, so many of them aren't going to turn up. So we've got Thistlecrack even money, 4-1 for Annie Power and Vroom Vroom Mag.
Vroom Vroom Mag will turn up.
Yeah.
Annie Power, given it's going to be a first run of the season, I think she'll go for the mares.
Yep. 7's then for Alpha de Zobo and Cole Harden. 9's Nichols Canyon. 12's More of That. 14's O'Petty Swan, and 16's or Bigger the Rest. Well, you wouldn't have thought Nichols Canyon would turn up here, would you? Stamina-wise, it would be a big ask on, you know, to try for the first time.
I think he would stay.
I'm not saying he wouldn't stay, but it's a big ask, isn't it?
It is a big ask first time, because you're going into the unknown. But if they did happen to think Forheen was unbeatable in a champion hurdle, he'd be a big price at 9-1, because I think he would stay. He was a strong stayer on the flat. There's no reason to say, on what we've seen over the hurdles, why he wouldn't stay so far. Putty Swan is the interesting one. Still yet to see him this season, but Paul Nichols always rated this very, very highly. Obviously, won at the festival last year, so shown his liking for the track. He's a bit of an unknown quantity, but going to the festival, probably without a run, would be a big ask. The same could be said about Camping Ground. He ran too bad to be true yesterday, Camping Ground. If he returns to his penultimate run, then he's a big price at 16-1. But even money at that price, I can let him run, I think, at even money, because there is that question mark over the ground. But on what he's done this year, 3-from-3 unbeaten, terribly impressive yesterday in a World Hurdle qualifier where he beat most of the British contenders. You can't argue with even money, but I think there's better even money shots on a Monday at Wolverhampton, if I'm honest.
Okay. 7-2 for Bartus Hill to win the Albert Bartletts. He was tough in winning at Doncaster. He didn't really impress me, to be honest. We know already how tough he is, and you'd like him to show a little bit more class, if you like. And I know that sounds almost damning of him, because he's been he's unbeaten, isn't he? But I think something will beat him in the Albert Bartlett. We make him 7-2. What do you think?
If I was allowed to go best price on any horse, if I was a William Hill compiler, I would go best price Bartus Hill for the Albert Bartlett.
So you think he's there to be taken
on? I think he's there to be taken on. You can't run as lazily, seems to be laziness as he is, in a Grade 1 championship race at Cheltenham and win, for me.
No, I'd agree.
He's 7-from-7. He had a lot of speed in bumpers, has to be said. And he's won an entry bumper, one of the quickest bumpers around on good ground. Good ground might see him travel a little bit better, but it wasn't desperate ground when he ran at Doncaster yesterday. It became more testing as the days went on. He's still unbeaten, 7 from 7. It was another dour front-running show over 3 miles. But
I would say is that the Albert Bartlett, in recent years anyway, the emphasis has been so much on stamina. And he doesn't seem to stop, does he?
He doesn't.
And you could actually see him, even though I'm not a massive fan of his, I can see him being there or thereabouts. I'm not saying he's going to be a complete blowout, but I just think if anything's just got a little bit more class about them, a little bit more speed when it matters, surely he's going to be a sitting
duck. He's gone sort of the Don Polly, Don Cossack way, hasn't he, in that he's just racing extremely lazily. We don't actually know how much he's left in the tank and how good he is. Clearly, he's very, very good. Unbeaten in 7, won an extremely strong entry bumper. Bells Hill was second there, went on to win at Punchestown. I prefer the second in the betting, Bells Hill, 8-1. He's a massive prize. Obviously, he's still in the Neptune as well. And we're not non-runner, though, bet on this one. Your Kill is a thorough stayer as well. Saw him win the Tolworth in absolutely bottomless conditions, but he's not devoid of speed either, Your Kill. So he's got a good hand here as Graham Wiley. He'll probably split his horses up. I think Bells Hill will probably go for the Neptune, and I think they'll keep York Hill to the Albert Bartlett. York Hill certainly seems stamina-laden in that Tolworth hurdle win. So we're pretty much sure he's going to go for the race now. I think David Bass came out and told Ben Pauling yesterday he's going to be better suited to the Albert Bartlett than to the Neptune Investment Novices hurdle, but his way of running for me, he can't win a championship race the way he runs. I think he's there to be shot at 7-2.
Okay. And just worth noting there, because you threw in a few Mullins horses there, he's not had the best time of things of late, Willie Mullins, by his very high standards, but you'd rather be having a little blip now, wouldn't you, rather than in a few weeks' time?
No, he's not invincible, as we all thought. I think it was 11 runners without a win, Richie had, unbelievably. but he soon got that sorted a little bit later on, didn't we? Just looking ahead to another new festival race. His Limini was very, very impressive at Fairy House yesterday. Obviously, we've got another horse of his running at Punchestown today, which will be another reminder in Misca of what's to come in that race. But he looks to have a very, very strong hand in the new novice race for mares at the Cheltenham Festival, because Limini, once again, that was pretty much her first run of the season. She'd won back in May. That was pretty much her first run back of the season. Jumped okay, didn't jump impeccably, but won as she liked, and she beat some decent horses under Danny Mullins yesterday. He certainly seems to have another very decent horse on his hands, but that market could change after Misca's run at Punchestown today. But Limini's even money. Misca's 9-2, Smart Tour 8s. It certainly probably looks between the front two in the market.
I was going to say, we're recording this about 5 minutes before Misca's about to run. So I'm not going to give any prices, because they will have changed by the time it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, she looks thoroughly impressive at Taunton last time in the mud. Misca, once again, how good is she? We don't know.
But Limini, of the two, you prefer?
I would do, but the prices are suggesting that as well. Just looks a little bit classier, Limini, on better ground in the spring. I think that'll suit Limini more than Misca, who just looks a thorough stayer.
Okay. Right then, we'll move on to Monday's racing. As I've said, no air. And with Plumpton inspecting, hopefully they will go ahead, but we're not going to preview any of the racing there. We're going to focus on the all-weather stuff and look at two at Wolves and two at Kempton. And we'll start at Wolves with the 3.10. It's a filly's handicap over a mile and a half. 8 runners going to post for this one, Ollie. And a couple of these are having in decent nick.
Yeah, quite a few to consider here, Alex. No more so than the frithing Tijuca. I think she's the way to go in this race, following her course success 3 weeks ago. Edda Giles is having a very good all-weather campaign, as is Kieran O'Neill, who's been a revelation on the all-weather this year. Obviously, with the retirement of Richard Hughes, he's getting a lot more chances for the Hannon team, but he's got a good relationship with Tijuca and the DeGiles stable. Won a 10-run handicap over the course 3 weeks ago, very readily up in trip today. I think that could eke out a little bit more improvement. I think she's certainly the one to beat in the 3.10 at Wolverhampton. So positive selection. What is a competitive race is Tijuca in the 3.10 at Wolves for Edda Giles and Kieran O'Neill.
And the main danger in that one?
Well, there's a number of dangers, I think. Wavelet's won twice at Lingfield. Trainer's going well. David Simcock, Jamie Spencer's got a good strike rate for the track. She's lightly raced. Career best as last time when she won that 8-runner handicap at Lingfield. But she was in the van the whole way. I thought she got the run of the race that day. I think there just might be a little bit more in Tijuca's locker, stepping up in trip, than Wavelet's.
Okay, so Tijuca the pick in Wolverhampton's 3:10. Next up is the 4:10 from Wolverhampton, Felix handicap over the extended mile trip. We've got 8 runners going to post for this one. And again, a few of these arriving here in decent nick. You've got Abbey Angel, Mitre Peak and India Song all arriving here off the back of a win. India Song looking for a hat-trick.
Yeah, another really competitive race. Good prize money as well up for grabs. £16,808 to the winner of the 4:10 at Wolverhampton tomorrow. I think it's probably between the two Richard Fahey horses here in Abbey Angel and Mitre Peak. Mitre Peak was especially impressive when scoring over slightly further here. This is her handicap debut and she takes a much better class of opposition. But how well handicapped she is, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't be the biggest fan of backing a horse first time out in a handicap against more experienced rivals. Got a mark of 80 for a handicap debut. Sammy Jo Bell takes off an excellent £3. But I'm going to plump for the other Richard Fahey horse here, Abbey Angel. I was extremely taken with her win last time. That was a career best when she won a 7-runner handicap over course and distance 14 days ago. The yard are in excellent form. I still think competitively handicapped off a mark of 82. And between the two, I think Tony Hamilton would have had the choice. He chooses Abbey Angel, who he won on over course and distance 2 weeks ago, and she will be the selection in a really competitive for these handicap in the 4:10 at Wolverhampton.
Okay, we'll move to Kempton for the 3:55, a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs. Just a 7 going to post for this one, Ollie. Queen Aggie, the only last time out winner in the lineup, but all of these horses are pretty solid and you can expect the majority of these to run the same race time and time again.
Yeah, as you mentioned, that Queen Aggie and Mambo Fever are definitely closely matched on their Chelmsford run. But I'm going to go with Perfect Alchemy for the Pat Channing stable. Joe Fanning takes the ride here. Course winner, nicely drawn in 3 for Joe Fanning. I'm going to go with Pat Channing as his charge here. Perfect Alchemy in the 3:55 at Kempton.
And to follow her home, Queen Aggie or Mambo Fever?
I think Mambo Fever's better off at the weights here. Callum Shepherd's good value for his 5. Bottom weight of 8'9". Go with Mambo Fever to beat Queen Aggie. But for win purposes, Perfect Alchemy.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is Kempton's 4:30, a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got 7 runners going to post for this one, Ollie. And, well, there's 4 of them arrive here in decent nick.
Yeah, Headspace has come here in decent form. You'd argue might well be able to return to winning ways now back on his last successful mark, having finished with a flourish on his latest start. Yao and Dr. Parks were first and second in a pretty good claim at last time. They look big players. And of those 3, Alex, I would go with the gelding here, Yao, for Carl Burke and Justin Newman. Justin Newman takes £5 off the top weight, and I'd argue it was probably a career best last time by Yao. I know it was only in a claimer, but it was a strong claimer at Lingfield last time. But Yao reopposes Dr. Parks on much better terms today back in handicap company than they did in that claimer, and it would be quite sweet on the top weight here, Yao for Carl Burke and Justin Newman.
Okay, Yao gets the vote in Kempton's 4:30. Great stuff, Ollie. Great talking to you, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.